So another month means another article by Dr. Belinda Kong in the Sydney Observer. So this month, Belinda speaks on the need for resilience in children, commenting on the need to not overprotect kids, but the importance of not seeing yourself as a victim and being equipped with the mental skills to persevere in adversity, reinforcing their self-confidence. I can feel all the helicopter parents right now clutching their pearls because in studio we've got Dr. Belinda Kong. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you very much. You've summed up my article so well. Now, can I go home?
Yeah, we don't need you anymore.
So this victimhood mentality, right? You talk about it, and it feels like for me in the last 5 years, it's sort of become encouraged, and it's quite good to indulge in self-pity. I want to know, do you think this has been encouraged at school, by parents, by society? Like, where do you think this has all come from?
Okay, that is one of my favorite topic, this idea of victimhood. And I think that we not only see this with children, we see that in the whole, in the whole of Australia.
That's right.
You have a roof that needs fixing, for example, you blame the government. So we have to go to count the council, that kind of thing, me. Yeah, and I think it's a good question, where does it start?
Yeah.
And how do you respond to it? So I think it really starts from negative role modeling. Okay. If your parents or somebody in the family, the adult says, it's somebody's fault, then the kids is going to learn to be somebody's fault. And I also see that when kids fall down on the street, in the school, let's go to the school, complain, and let's see whether they got a public liability insurance. Let's sue somebody. So there's a lot of anger out there. And there's a lot of things that is poor me. I think the poor me mentality is really prevalent, from social welfare recipients. I'm not condemning them, and DIS, which I deal a lot, and things like that. So the resilience question is, can we teach them to respond rather than to react to adversity?
And you talk about bullying and persevering in those situations. I think a lot of parents would wonder where they draw the line between teaching their kids to be resilient and then to stand up or then to intervene. So what's your advice when it comes to bullying, and where should a parent step in or just leave the kids be?
Okay, so in terms of bullying, I think there are two aspects, right? There is the aspect of when your child is being bullied, then you have to sometimes help your children to understand your kids. It doesn't matter who they are, even adults. Are they acting out of ignorance or malice? Because sometimes people bully, in quotation marks, because they don't understand you or they don't know what's going on. So you think it's bullying, but sometimes there's no malice. It's just sheer stupidity, right? The other thing is to not see them as victims, and I say, and use your resilience and inner strength to transcend the situation. And the third thing is not to let others define who you are and what you choose to be. Now, would I have time to give a personal experience?
Yeah, of course.
So when I was growing up in Malaysia, I was misdiagnosed at 1 year old with polio. And it turned out that I had a childhood stroke. So I had a lot of mobility problem. And most of the time, it doesn't bother me, except that on the sports field, and in those days, they're not politically correct, I couldn't join sports, and my teammates don't want me. I know they're not malicious. They're just ignorant. They want to win, right? But it impacts me a lot. So my PE teacher said, okay, Belinda, why don't you go to the library or the art room during this time so you don't feel bad? So I did that. I used to go to the library, and it stands me in good state still now. But one day I had this sports, looking over from the library, and I cried and I said, it's not fair. I want to be there too, but then nobody wants me to be there. So then in that moment of full awareness, I decided they are not going to define who I am. And also I decided they just want to win. They're not bullying me. All kids want to win a race, right?
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. So I stopped crying. I dried my tears. And that's when I resolved that I am going to let my intellect, right, help me and over and not deal with my disability. And I did that. I went 100%. On to become a school prefect. I became dean of school.
There you go. You can do anything when you, when you put your mind to it.
No,
what can't you do?
It's not just the mind, Jess. I decided that I am not going to be a victim. I will respond with what I have, which is my intellect, rather than what my limitation is.
100%.
Yeah.
An absolute superpower.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people would say as well that bullying helps to, you know, grow you as a person, that it's not necessarily a bad thing. Like, I was bullied in school and it definitely made me a stronger person. So would you agree that there's an element of that when it comes to bullying that makes you a better person, and that it's kind of a good thing to sort of build you up?
Yeah, if you, as you said, Campbell, because you have the resilience and you have the inner strength, and you say that's not who I am, that's why I say it's so important for them not to be defined by people's action, right? You said, yeah, you
know. Yeah, 100%.
But if the parents said, oh, poor Campbell, oh, you poor thing.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Let's take you to the headmistress or the teacher.
And that certainly didn't happen.
Yeah, and let's name the people who bully you.
Yeah, I think we miss a lot of humour in society now.
Absolutely.
I think we need to learn to laugh at ourselves more.
I know.
100%. Yeah.
But we'll be back with Belinda Conn after a short break. We're going to be changing the topic a little bit. We're going to talk about all things AI and psychology.
Back in the studio with Belinda Conn, continuing on our awesome story of resilience.
That's her September issue in the Sydney Observer, talking all things about that. We just talked about, you know, where to intervene when it comes to bullying. You know, I think parents find it hard to find the line between letting them grow, because it's a real character builder, I think.
Definitely.
To an extent.
It really is.
And when to intervene. But I want to change the topic here, because I'm curious what your thoughts on this are, Belinda, because I'm sure you've seen and heard of people using AI now as psychologists and going to it for advice. A lot of parents that may be time poor using that. I want to know, what's your take on the increase of people using AI as opposed to seeking out face-to-face help with someone like yourself?
Campbell, you have just hit on my second favorite topic.
Oh, really? Well, I'm excited.
Yeah, I need 48 hours. But to summarize, my take is AI is dangerous as a therapist. And to underline that, the American Psychological Association, the biggest psychological association in the world, you know, I'm a fellow of the APA, they have actually canvassed Congress, the American US Congress, to make a law to outlaw AI therapists for children or for therapists, or to get the therapist AI, I'm talking about AI therapists, to certify their real therapist.
Yeah,
because
okay.
the damage they do, people who use AI, whether it's kids or adults, I know of people, adults who use it, they do not know, because they are very, very empathetic. They're available 24/7. The risk of that is, the AI therapists have no history of you. They do not know. They cannot read the body language like I would do in person. So there were 6 kids in America who committed suicide talking to an AI therapist.
Really?
Yeah, really scary. The APA, the American Congress, is very, very concerned. I've been advocating for this in Australia, but as usual, we are a little bit backwards. So what they do is they say, okay, you say, I'm feeling very depressed and I want to kill myself. Now, first of all, if we hear that in real person, we would start calling the mental health crisis.
Absolutely.
Right? We would find ways to keep the person safe. Well, this AI therapist will say, yeah, I hear you. It's okay. You can actually validate your feeling.
That's not helpful in any way.
Yeah. So they don't understand, and they don't understand the family of origin issues or what medication. They just hear you. It is the most dangerous, underline, underscore. And I wish that the Australian government and our mental health minister or whoever's responsible would take this seriously, because it is a big threat.
Yeah. And it's only like the last sort of 3-4 years that it's been developing. So what's going to do in 20 years? That's the scary thing. You can't tell.
People
because it also tells you what you want to hear. a lot of the time. Exactly. It'll just make up an answer a lot of the time.
So, Kemba, say I'm an AI therapist, okay? And you talk to me.
Yeah.
Let's role play.
Yeah.
Right, well, see, what would I ask?
I've actually done this before.
Okay, just ask me.
I was going to say, I'm not.
I use ChatGPT as a therapist sometimes. Yep. And I'm interested to know. I'll be like, okay, so my friend has sent me a message asking if I want to hang out. But I'm busy tonight, but I don't want to hurt their feelings. What would I say?
You wouldn't be going to ChatGPT therapist for that. Give me a more serious thing. Like, my boyfriend just broke up with me and I'm going to kill myself, suppose.
Okay, so let's go with that. My boyfriend has just broken up with me and I'm feeling really vulnerable and, I don't know what I'm going to do at this stage.
I'm sorry to hear that. Mm-hmm. I totally understand. Would you like to actually get in touch with your feeling of wanting to kill yourself?
No.
All
that's
right.
Crazy.
So, but it's okay to feel like you want to kill yourself because
no,
if
it's
somebody
not.
Lose. Yes. So if I was a real therapist and you say I'm going to kill myself, the first thing I would ask you is, do you have any plans?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you have any things that you're, whether you got a gun and things
like
that.
ChatGPT doesn't account for those emotions
Nothing.
That a real life therapist can actually pick up on, which
That's
is interesting.
Right. And I would start to say, I got to keep you safe, right? And I said, okay, can you please hang in there? Please give me your address. And I would keep you on the line while I activate the ambulance or the mental health crisis and says, okay, we need to go to SER studio now.
Yeah.
Whereas the AI therapist could be anywhere in the world, doesn't even know where Sydney is. That's the danger.
Yeah, because it's only updated with current information, irregularly. It doesn't know the day-to-day.
That's right. And they don't have the history of the patient, so they don't know whether you're serious or you're not serious.
Exactly. Whereas a therapist who's actually known and worked with the patient before knows their situation, how they respond.
Or even if you haven't worked with them, you can pick up on all those signs.
Visual cues and stuff.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because the first thing that if you were to come into my room, my consultation room, I would know the way you walk in, the way you sit.
Mm.
And I would say, well, how's your day today? Oh, very good. I'm so excited. And you go, your body's all fallen.
That's so interesting.
Then I start to see the discrepancy between how you talk and how you act. The AI therapist doesn't care, doesn't know.
Yeah.
Right? It is the most dangerous. If 2SER has any power, any influence, please pursue this because I'm really, really, really scared for the general
It's definitely
population.
A scary time, especially if you're heavily reliant for those deep situations like
exactly.
that.
Yeah. Do you just look at the way society is heading and just think, why am I bothering? I'm just going to stay in bed. You know what? Stuff this.
Yeah. So
what keeps you going when you hear all this stuff?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, I am a strong advocate, as I wrote in my book, Raising Spring Kids, in empowering the person, in empowering children, in not making them a victim. And I've been practicing so long, I can see the strength of the human spirit.
Mm.
I tell you, Campbell, there are times when you think, I got people coming in fetal position because they're clinically depressed, suicidal, and all that. And when you talk to them and you see the change, right, when they're going through existential crisis, what's the meaning of my life? That's the beauty. So the human spirit is what motivates me to continue. But I can tell you, like all human beings, there are some days when I thought, what am I doing?
Yeah,
am I making a difference?
Yeah.
But overall, I only had one client so far, which is a very famous case, right? I committed suicide out of the thousands of people I've seen.
Mm.
Well, I'm sure you're making a big difference. You've got your book out now as well, Raising Spring Kids.
That's right. And the schools are inviting me to talk. And
excellent.
Then the Australian Psychological Society has asked me to do a 4-week online course based on my book for psychologists, parents, educators, and how to basically empower children.
Mm.
Yeah, excellent. So I'm very excited.
That'll be so good. Well, yeah, we'll put the link to the book when we put this interview up on our website. But
yeah, you can check that out there. Your Sydney Observer column is out now in the September issue. Thank you for joining us, Belinda.
Thank you so much. It's been lovely to have you.
And if you want a real therapy, come and see me.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what's your hourly rate? Name your price.
Oh, for you, free.
Ah, I love it. I like that.
Yeah. All right, should know.